Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday live show on Friday. We'll probably do this on Fridays for a few weeks. This is a show I do every week where I talk about what I want to talk about, answer questions, and mainly just answer questions. This is also a podcast. If you're listening to this as an audio podcast, you probably shouldn't. I do that to be nice to the people that want it as audio, but this is really intended as a video podcast. So if you can listen to it, watch it on YouTube, watch the video. If you're listening to an audio, I'm sorry, because I don't have a great way of speaking that makes this interesting. So with that intro, let's get started. And here is our, let's see how I get to this. Here's where I'm talking. Ooh, I like that. We're going to talk about the astral index again and answer questions. And I see that Cody already asked my first week. And I just finished a trip in the index and want to share my thoughts. So Cody, you're a step ahead of me. And I wanted to do a video about the index, another review video for rafters, but I don't think I've spent enough time in it. I have some really complex opinions and thoughts about it. And I haven't swam in it yet. I haven't pulled myself in a raft in it yet. I think those are two important details that I do before I do a more detailed analysis. But I'm going to quickly share my thoughts. And if anybody else wants to jump in, please do. And this is it. I'm wearing it now. I just did a 4-day trip in it. And my general thought, my general opinion is that it's a kayaking PFD. That's my general thought. Like, it's great that they made this PFD with more flotation. Those of you that like the green jacket, they want more flotation, they got it. If you're a kayaker and you're kayaking the Indus or big water, they made it for you. It's great. Or if you're a kayaker that just wants more flotation, this is a great kayaking PFD. For rafting, I'm pretty torn on this one for a couple of reasons. One, it sticks out a lot. I mean, look how much it sticks out. It's huge. And so pulling myself back in the raft, I feel like it's going to be tough. I feel like it's like I'm kind of like pregnant almost, or like barrel chested or whatever. It's big. I can tell you who it doesn't work for. It's not going to work for people that are really tall. It just doesn't sit low enough if you're tall. If you're pear-shaped, it's not going to work for you. It's going to kind of sit over your pear down here and ride up when you swim. It's just not really good if you're pear-shaped. You need to have an athletic build to even pull this off. I'm a little pear-shaped. I'm 6'2". I'm a bit tall. It's kind of marginal for me. I do like it because it looks cool, but I don't think it's the best PFD for me personally. It's probably really designed for somebody who's, I don't know, 5'7", 5'6", 140, 150 maybe. That's who it's going to be really good for. And I just want to say, it's great that Astro made this. I'm going to kind of like be disappointed here in a little bit. At least we have it. At least we have this higher flotation version of the green jacket, but it's really not designed for rafters. I don't think in any way, I don't think any rafter had any input about this whatsoever. The other thing is, I'm going to move this so you can see better because I see, I'll just move Cody's note. It's really designed for right-handed people, right? The pockets here on the right, the knife axis is here on the right. If you're going to use the little tassel thingy, it's all right-handed stuff. If you're left-handed, pulling the knife out is awkward. Getting the zipper is doable, but a little awkward. And your tassel thingy, if you're going to do like a tassel ropey thing to yourself to this, it's not going to be that great. So this is really intended for a right-handed paddler. And I think, oh, I can't, but I'm not super stoked on this button. I don't know why they're so committed to this button. It's actually kind of annoying. I wish they would just do what everybody else is doing with the little split rings. We'll deal with that later. And the knife too, where the knife is located. I think they're intending to put it here. So you pull it out with your right hand. That's what this thing's for. And so it's not centered where you could do either side. It's really intended to be a right-hand pull. And I think when you have an external knife, you want to be able to pull it with both hands. I think getting to it this way is even tough. And so I can get to this knife pretty easy. And I'm choosing to clip mine right here. I worry that I'm going to lose it. I haven't lost it yet, but I might lose it. So I'm stoked to have a higher flow PFD that looks cool. That's what I'm stoked on. I just don't think this is the answer for all of you rafters who want more flotation in a PFD. I honestly, I'm going back into Illinois in a few days. I'm wearing this, I think, because I should test it some more and get some more thoughts. Even though this thing looks super dorky, I think I'd rather wear this. That's just my like thoughts right now. So I don't love this one either, but since it, you know, this is only to me an improvement in that it looks cool. And looking cool is, you know, honestly important to a lot of people. Whether they admit it or not, it is important to people. That's why people wear so many green jackets. So those are my thoughts. If anybody else has thoughts to share and they've used it, I'd love to hear. I do like the way it looks. That's, and when I see myself in photos and videos, I'm like, man, that guy's awesome. But when I wear this in photos and videos, I look like a doofus. But after using it for a week, I think I do like the NRS PFD more. I'm going to go out next week. I'm going to pull myself back in a raft and swim in it. I'm sure swimming is going to be great. If I pull myself back in a raft and it's not that hard, I think I'm going to lean towards more of this PFD. If it's really hard, I'm going to be kind of annoyed with this PFD because I think instead of them putting flotation down lower, like they probably should have, they went out like this and out like that. So I think I'm stoked this exists, but I think there's a better way to do a high flow PFD for rafters. Again, because I believe this was designed for like hardcore class 5 kayakers. They're going to go travel to Pakistan and run the Indus. These like 1% of kayakers who are just going and getting rad. Yes, Sean, speak to look cool, but I'll be, yeah. I mean, this isn't necessarily better, that much better function. The pockets on this one suck. I really don't like the pockets on this one. This one forces an external knife. And when you're rowing, they put this cool hand warmer here. But the problem is when you ship your oars, you get it caught in here. So function about the same. Comfort, I think this is more comfortable. Just because it sits so high, it's always kind of riding up. It's not that comfortable. So I think the flotation on these two are the same. But in terms of comfort, I think this is more comfortable because it sits down lower. Is it possible they can make I don't think so because they have to go through the problem with PFDs, and I think this is a US thing, is to get it Coast Guard approved is just really expensive and difficult. And they're only going to do one PFD. It's just so hard to do. And I think that's why they don't have like flotation by size. Like in Europe, the extra large is 90 Newtons. The medium is 70 Newtons. The small is 60. They can make green jackets in small, medium, large and have them upgrade in flotation. But they have to get each one individually approved. I think that's what the problem is. It's just really hard to get approval. And even just changing this over to here would probably require a whole new thing. The other thing is the zipper. I do like it, actually. I do put too much stuff in here. I had my sunscreen in here. I don't know what else to have. I had a notebook in here, and my phone was in here. And I found myself, I got some pens down there. I found myself having to constantly pull everything out to put it back in. So I don't mind the pocket that much. But, you know, to get to anything, I literally had to pull everything out and then put it back in. Where the old clamp trial, I just pull what I want. So, you know, I'm trying to think of this as a phone pocket, basically, because that's kind of what it is. I threw my sunscreen at the bottom, and then every time I needed to get to my sunscreen, I'd pull my phone out. And I'm going to leave this notepad behind this time. I'm just taking notes on my phone this trip and not have a notepad with me. So then I'll just have, like, sunscreen in the bottom, chapstick here, and then a phone on top. It's pretty cool, and I could just flick my phone really quick, row a little bit, and then close it when I had time. My other thought with this is I end up putting my whistle on the zipper. I can look. I can blow. If I'm pulling myself in a raft, though, it's going to hit the zipper and pull it down. And I wish they had done the zipper up. Wait, no, the other way. So that, like, now it's closed. Because now when I pull myself up on a raft, it's not going to open the zipper. So I do worry that it's going to hit this, knock the zipper, and then my phone falls out unexpectedly. But whatever. I don't know. Okay, so that's my thoughts on the Indus. Let's go on to questions. Here we go. All right, I have 20-inch tubes. This is an oar length question. All right, first of all, I'm going to tell you the answer. Measure the distance between your oar locks and multiply by 1.63, and that's a great starting point. Maybe go a little longer or shorter, I don't know, but start at the distance between your oar locks and multiply by 1.63. Okay, I have 20-inch tubes on a 78-inch wide 14-foot raft, and my NRS Bighorn frame is 68-inch wide, which makes my 3 to 4 inches between my oar locks and outsides my boat. I don't understand that question. Which makes 3 to 4 inches between my oar locks and outsides of my boat. Okay, I can get the crossbars cut by a local metal shop. Is it more important to have my frame centered on the tubes or having max width? The formula shows I should have my oars at 10 feet if I don't reduce the frame width. So I kind of understand what you're asking. How wide should your frame be? And you know the formulas. That's great. I think I'm not super freaked out about your bars on the top of your tube. They can be a little out. They can be a little bit in. It's not something I obsess about. So having your frame centered on your tubes, not a huge deal. Some people might freak out about it. I don't care. Max width is nice. But if you go too wide and your oar locks are outside your boat, if you hit a wall, it's going to smash your oar locks. Or if you like scrape, in Greenwall last week, I hit one of the drop and it kind of went down a wall and my boat was down the side of my oar locks were out there. It would have just scraped my oar locks and maybe bent or broke them. So I don't really want my oar locks wider than my raft. But I actually want them maybe in, the more I think about it, I want them in a little bit, just in case that rock's overhanging. You really don't want to, you want to hit like a rock wall or something with the raft, not your frame and your oar locks. So I might ideally have them in maybe a few inches. So I don't think max width is key. I think 10 foot oars on a 14 foot boat based on the formula is probably pretty good. Yeah. So to answer your question, is it more important to have my frame started on the tubes? Probably not. Max width. I think I did a video one time where I said max width, and I'm starting to pull back on that a little bit. Like, let's go for pretty wide, but not max width, because if you hit a wall and if you hit a rock and the rock's tilted in a little bit, you could just destroy your oar locks. Okay. Oh, a bunch of questions. Jeez. Are you thinking about the knife pocket? I mean, the knife pocket works-ish. I don't know. I don't love it. It's fine. I think it's adequate. I think, Cody, it's adequate. It's fine. What I'm doing is, just doing this, and I'm probably going to lose a knife. I think you could shove it all away in and Velcro it, but that just doesn't give you, enough time. Like, this is too long to get to it. So I think I want it here. I wish that they had thought this is an option, having a folding knife here, and maybe had like a little thing, a tab you could put this under so it stays in better. If they thought about this as the knife, that would have been cool. I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they think an external knife will fit in here too. I don't know. Yeah. And the phone pocket, are you thinking? I'm not sure what you're asking here, but I mean, yeah, this is basically a phone pocket. And at this point, it does hold decent volume. It's just hard to get to things. And then it makes it even bigger and probably harder to get into your raft. Okay, back to the questions. How do I do this? There we go. All right. So this one, yeah, I mean, I'd probably just stick with what you have, follow the formula. If your oar locks are outside your raft, then I would bring it in a little bit. All right. Oh, geez. All right. Hey, Aaron. My name's Zach. Aaron used to be on the show. My name is Matt. I live in the Lake District. Oh, I'm going to skip a lot of this. No. Here we go. I have a Star Outlaw 130. On Saturday, we were out on 11, and there's one rapid, which is a pour over with a sticky hole on the other side. I got the approach slightly wrong and ended up going over the pour over sideways. Okay. That's a bummer. We got stuck in the retainer for about 30 seconds. When you say the retainer, do you mean the hole? I'm thinking you're meaning the hole. I called the high side to get my family away from the pour over, and after not succeeding with any paddling, instructed my friend to go to the front of the boat to shift weight. I started back paddling, and at the back, it gently brought the front of the boat square on the pour over. It then spat us out. I apologize for my terrible reading. I don't know if I'm pretty bad at reading, but if you combine that with sentences that are not complete sentences, it really makes it hard. So please bear with me. It was my first experience of being in a stopper in a raft. I wanted to know if I did things right or if it was more of a stroke of luck that we got out of the way. So with getting out of holes, there's no do these set of things in this order. I mean, every hole is different, right? No two holes are the same. No two boats are the same. So it depends on the boat you're in, how much weight it has, what the hole looks like. There's no exact formula. I would say high siding is really smart. So calling a high side is super smart. And sometimes you just wait it out. Just time will do something and pop it out. You told your friend to go to the front of the boat. Yeah, shift weight. Yeah, paddle a little bit. Sometimes paddling works. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you could throw, you know, if you're in there for a while, you could throw a rope to shore, which is pretty sketchy actually. Or, you know, people from shore could throw you a rope. You could get tangled in that rope, but that's like, if you're there for like minutes to start thinking about that. But, you know, 30 seconds in a port overhaul, that's not much. Yeah, that's not much. The long, if you're in there for minutes, you might start thinking like, oh man, this boat could flip. I don't want to get people tangled in some sort of NRS throw bag or some other loop of rope in the thing. So I'll look around, make sure there's no entanglements in the boat. And like, it's just sometimes time. Just being there, time, it'll eventually pop out, or it won't. And then you'll flip eventually, or you'll all jump out eventually. Okay. If anybody has better advice, please jump in. But unfortunately, like, without seeing video of this, it's hard to like give you any real advice on what works and what doesn't. I usually avoid this feature, but as I say, I got it wrong. I'm glad because of this is how I learned my mistakes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Just wanted your thought on it, if possible. And if you have experience of getting a raft and best procedure. Yeah. I mean, I've been stuck in a lot of holes, and I think I like to go into small holes and play around and surf to sort of like learn how they work. And so my advice would be like, don't go right into this big pour over with your family. Do that on accident, whatever. But like next time by yourself or with a friend or two, go into it and play around with it. Like sit in there for a few minutes, see if you can do 360s in your boat. Like start to play in holes. And when you start playing in holes, you start to figure out how they work a little bit and you get better at getting out. So there's not an exact procedure, like do these five steps. I think high siding is smart. Like I said, shifting weight is smart, paddling is smart, but sometimes you just got to like look at it and get what's going to work, and just waiting, like I said, works out pretty well. Cool. Hopefully that helps. Sean, going back to this question, the questioner's oarlocks are 3 to 4 inches inside the width of the tubes. I'm dumb. I'm really sorry. I don't even know what this means. 3 to 4 inches inside the width of the tubes. The tubes, I don't know what does width of the tubes mean? I need somebody to I wish I had somebody here who could help me because I sometimes can't understand inside the width of the tubes. So I'm guessing they're 3 to 4 inches inside the outside. Like if the tubes are this wide, each one is 3 to 4 inches inside of that, that seems reasonable. I think that's a good, if that's the case, I figured it out. So thanks for being patient with me, everybody. Yeah, that makes sense. I think that seems reasonable. Boat 7 feet wide, oarlocks 6. So that means it'd be 5 inches, not 3 to 4 inches, right? Wait, 6. I'm just doing quick math here. That would put a 5 inches. So I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. Looking for a day trip close to La Grande, Oregon. I have no idea. Let's go to Google. La Grande, Oregon day. This is the best way to find rafting is Google. Grand Ronde. This is all multi-day trips. So I don't think there's anything. Several hours away. You could do the White Salmon or the Deschutes or something, but I don't think there's anything close. The Grand Ronde's a multi-day trip, it looks like. I maybe call Minum Store Outfitters. They may have some ideas. They're down. They usually have things. Here we go. Whitewater rafting. Three rivers and multiple trip styles. There we go. Guided. Here we go. I solved your problem. Guided day trips. Here you go. Book now. The Wallawa. There you go. Just a little bit of Google and figure it out. Okay. So back to here. Underside handles. I've heard you describe and discuss the use of handles or straps on the underside of boats to aid in getting on the upturn raft. What do you think is the best way of doing this? Glued handles, strap running around floor. So it's hard to say there's a best way. I think it depends on the river you're on, your boat, a lot of different factors. On our wings that we use on the Illinois, we tie little handle loops in the floor because in the wings you can't get your fingers anywhere. Like you can get your fingers in the floor, but it's really hard and painful. So we just have handles that we use to pull ourselves up. So I think that works great. It stays there permanently. Yeah, that's my thing. If I'm doing the Grand Canyon, I'm going to run a belly line. I'm going to run a line bow to stern under the boat that I can grab and pull myself on. and hold on to when the boat's upside down. So I think a belly line is sweet for the Grand Canyon. Some people may run a belly line all the time. I worry a little bit that it'll hit rocks, but not that much. So I think a belly line is cool. I think a rope that goes side to side under, or like a webbing, or like I would use webbing under the boat, not rope, because webbing can be flat to the boat and not hit stuff. Side to side, I think that works. I think it's harder to climb up the sides of most rafts than it is the ends. And I know that I'm wrong on this sometimes, but generally it's easier to climb up the ends than the sides. So a side to side, I think, is okay. Because boats go down the river, I feel like that's a catcher's mitt for rocks, where if the line is like, boats are straight usually when they're going down river. So I feel like a line that's bowed astern is less likely to get caught on rocks than when it's side by side. And then glued handles, I think it depends on the boat. I feel like those, I mentioned glued handles recently because we were talking about the Rogue Nugget series. They're really hard to get into. And there's a place to glue a handle, I think, that would be really smart to help people get in the boat. I think on other rafts, there might be some reason, or certain like certain catamaran boats, where they called shredders, certain shredder boats or whatever, the two tubey things people sit on R2. I think some of those could maybe use a handle. The handle could grab things too. It could grab like a branch or a rock. So it's all risk reward. So I would say turn your boat upside down. I think everybody should do this. Before your boat flips, turn your boat upside down and see, is your boat hard to get into? And based on your athleticism, your body type, how bulky your PFD is, then do something, whether it's a belly line, little hand loops, whatever it is, to help you get in the boat. Being able to get yourself back on the upside down boat is kind of important. I think especially, like, I think about this channel a lot. Like, I'm answering this question from like a class 4 or 5 standpoint. This whole channel is basically for people in my mind that are like class 3 boaters aspiring to be class 4 or 5 or class 4 and 5 boaters. I'm not answering this question if you're doing like, I don't know, like some class 2 river. I'm not going to like, I don't know, whatever it is. Like if you're just doing class 2, I don't know, get yourself a ladder, whatever you need to do. I'm more speaking from a whitewater perspective, which I'm going to define like class 3+ to class 5. If you're doing easy stuff, I'm not exactly sure what the answer is, but on more difficult stuff, I would say handles tied to your, tied to your floors thing or belly line or something else. Okay. Whoa. Lots of questions. Do you have loops on the side of your wing floors or just each end? I know I'm on the side, we just have on each end. So like when you climb up the ends, there's something to grab. They're not like, you can't, I don't climb up the sides of the wings. The tubes are big. They're a 22, 23 inch tube. So it's really hard to climb up the sides. I'm going to go straight to the end and get myself up. Is Illinois easier at 700 for kayakers compared to 1500 plus? I'm thinking about running it up to Pine Creek next weekend. I'm thinking about running it up to Pine Creek. You mean Pine Flat Creek? And then just stopping and hiking back? I don't know. It depends. 700 compared to 1500 plus. Yeah, I'd say 700 is probably easier. Oops. Jeez, my watch just answered my question. I'd say it's easier. It's probably easier at 700 than 1500. Yeah. And I'm not sure what you mean, but I think I'm running it up to Pine Creek. Okay. Another question. I'm considering upgrading my Sawyer Polecat oar shafts using Dynalite XD blades. Would you recommend MSXG oar shafts or something else? Yeah, I'd go MXSG. Those are sweet. We go MXG. We don't go like the smaller diameter, the S, that's what the MXS is for the smaller diameter blade. And that will match Carlisle. It'll match, what's the other one? I don't know, whatever the other one is. It's a smaller shaft. So if you're, you know, you can interchange with your friends on the river trip. We use the larger diameter because they're more durable. And so you could go MX just regular, like not the S. Or MX is, MXS, the S used to mean small. Now it means standard. That's the standard blade. We use the bigger blade. I'd recommend that, but it's not interchangeable with your friends. So if somebody breaks a blade, you can't use your friend's blade or whatever. So the MXG is sweet. And I would just call Sawyer and say extra duty everything. Just have them beef it up. They know what that means. Have them just add more layers of things. You know, that's what I would do. Yeah, Dynalite XD blades with MXSGs, that's amazing. Yeah, are you gonna go down Pine Flange, hike back out? Is that what you're thinking? I didn't understand that, Intermediary Joe. I'm thinking about running it up to Pine Creek next weekend. So just to there and then stopping. That's what I'm confused by. Okay. Well, I apologize. Like I don't know what I'm doing. I can't understand words. I'm not somebody who studied English or something. I studied math, engineering. Okay, back to our questions. I think I answered this one. Probably I wouldn't go handles unless on a regular raft. I'd go handles on like those Rogue series or something where handles are needed. Okay, next question. Air 156R versus a Wing Fit. Ooh, this is a good one. All right, it's time for a new boat, and I'm pretty dead set on the Air 156R. 22-inch tubes, 15'9" long. It's a great boat. The Air 156R is a great boat. Thank you for doing R and not like double D. I think regular size tubes all around is smart. Diminishing, I think, is kind of weird. Sealed pocket floor. I probably wouldn't go sealed floor. I think I'd take the water on. I think I would only use the sealed floor for racing. I think that the air in the floor is actually a good thing, but your choice. But I'm also in love with the Wing boats. Yep, they're pretty sweet. I've chatted a bit with Wing, and it seems they now offer a Williamson wide at 15'22" tubes, which would make my ideal boat, but I'm not sure I'm getting a whole lot of advantages in the Wing that are not worth the extra $X thousand. I mean, it'd probably, I'm guessing, 4,000 more for the Wing, 3,000. The Wings are expensive. They're just expensive. Have your listeners rode the 15/156R, and can you speak to the advantages, disadvantages versus the Wings? I mean, I've rode the 156R. It's a sweet boat. You can't go wrong with the 156R. Just know that. If you get that, you can't go wrong with it. The Air has a 10-year no-fault warranty, which is amazing. I think the Wing warranty is 3 years. So for the price, it's not. And I know they are really good with the warranties, but it's a short warranty versus a 10-year. No, like you could drive over your boat. Don't do this, but I think you can. Call Air before you do this. I think you could drive over your boat year 9 and they fix it. You have to pay for shipping, you know, but like, yeah, it's an amazing warranty. It's a great boat. The difference is, you know, the Airs have not, and I just rode a Wing 16 down the Illinois last week. So this, I owned a ton of Wings. So I chose for my outfitting business to buy the Wings over the Airs, even though the Airs are a great boat. One reason is Air has the inner tube and the zippers and all the things. And like we have a couple of airboats for our rowing schools, and there's water inside of the tube somehow. And that could be all boats could have that, but there was kind of a ridiculous amount of water. But just like that, the space between the inner bladder and outer bladder, I can catch sand and dirt and, you know, everything just accumulates. And just, I don't know, I feel like it's a little bit of a maintenance problem. I know a lot of you out there are going to be like, oh, yeah, you know, I haven't been in my Air for 20 years, never had a problem. Cool. That's great. I had problems. So that's why I say that. The Wing, I think the advantage of the Wing, I think it'll last longer. That Wing fabric is amazing. A disadvantage of the Wing is that it doesn't roll well. And so the Airs roll beautifully. If you're going to need to roll it, fly it in places, if you ever think of putting an airplane, maybe once, get, you know, the Wing's probably fine. But if airplanes or the back of your car or something is you're in your future, just get the Air. Don't even bother with the Wing. The regular Wing fabric rolls okay, not great. You know, if you're going to roll it once in a while, the Wing's probably fine. But don't get the fabric coating. They do like the urethane coated in urethane, which makes it super bomber, but it does not roll at all. Like you can technically roll it, but it's really, really bad and really hard to roll and transport with. The Wing, I designed the Wing, the 14'6" Williamson and the 16-foot Surge and a couple more boats. I would say those designs are pretty perfect. The 156R like design's great, but I put a lot of thought into those designs, and I based the 16 on the Avon Pro, which is just a classic design. And the Williamson was basically we took an Adventurer, another classic Avon, and made it just 6 inches longer. That's all we tweaked the design a little bit. We made it 6 inches longer. The thinking was with the Williamson as a boat that you could paddle boat down class 3. You could run the Grand Canyon. You could run class 5 like Cherry Creek. It's a very versatile boat that can do a lot of things. I don't know what a Williamson wide is, 15-foot boat. It's a 14'6" boat. So I'm surprised it's 15. I don't know what the dimensions are, but there's like the length to width ratio of a boat, the ideal boat to me, I think it's like 2.18 or something like that. Like just under 2.2 length to width is the ideal ratio. That makes it just turn well, track well, just work well as a boat. The Surge, the 16-foot boat, is spot on. The 14.6, because we took it and made it just a little longer, it's a little longer than it should be. So I like that they're making a Williamson wide, but it sounds like they're making it longer too at 15. I'd love to see the exact dimensions of it. I'm super curious. But the way, you know, that would be – the Williamson wasn't designed to be only a gearboat. It's also like would be a good paddle boat sometimes too. And we just used them as a paddle boat on our Illinois trip. And yeah, I mean, the guide running that boat was just like, yeah, this boat is butter. So I'm rambling now, but just to like, to sum it up, the 14.6, that there's a 13-foot version of these two that they have. That's not on the website. I call the Tony Stark. They probably have a new name for it. The 13-foot Tony Stark, the 14.6 Williamson, the 16-foot Surge are all basically the same design, but just scaled. And in my opinion, they're like perfect. And that's, again, because I designed it, but also because I use them all the time. And I mean, I just ran an Illinois trip with a 16 and I can just attest, it's awesome. Is it worth a couple thousand, $3,000, $4,000 more than 156R? Probably not. It's really hard. It would be hard for me to justify that. Commercially, I think it is, because I think it's going to, like, maintenance wise and just durability wise, it's going to last a lot longer and just be more maintenance free, which is important for me as an outfitter. And when I'm running like harder rivers like the Illinois, I want a bomber boat that I'm not going to have to worry about. So I probably didn't answer your question. I think I did. Just get the 156R. The wings are awesome, but I don't know. Take that $3,000 or whatever, put in your retirement fund. You'll be much happier with having that money down the road. And it'd be just fine at the 156R. The one disadvantage of wings is I don't like, there's nobody at Wing that I know of who's a boater who's really taking control of all their boats. And so like sometimes when I order a wing, the handles are too big. And so the handles are not hand entrapments, or the thwarts are just like an awful thwart system, which I think they fixed, but like there's nobody there like actively fixing like little detail problems. And I've had a few, you know, detail problems in some of the boats I've ordered. So they're really great boats, but they're not perfect. And I would say if they had somebody on staff who was like a boater who really knew the product line well and made sure boats are made for whitewater correctly every time, I maybe would be willing to pay the premium. But without that, it's really hard to pay that premium. That's just my opinion. Okay. And that's last question. Let's go to, the pack raft. Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. Pack raft down to Pine Flat and hike out. That'd be a cool trip. I like that. Maybe like, yeah, you can park at Briggs Creek too. Just park at Briggs Creek. And there's not, I mean, between Miami Bar and Briggs Creek, there's not really much. And just put in Briggs Creek, paddle down. I mean, there's some rapids for sure. I don't know how good you are, but like, that'd be a fun trip. And then hike back out. It'd be cool. With loop handles in the floor work? No, because the floor is elevated. I mean, the floor is mesh and it's elevated. I mean, you need big loop handles. So, I mean, I don't think they work. I don't know what the solution is, but I think they need some sort of small grabbing handle that they glue in. Like you reach over that tube and there's something to grab. Our wing boat still, yeah, I mean, it's, I think so. I mean, if you look at their website, they still have the boats I designed. They probably have more alternates of those. And I don't know who designed, I don't know who made the wide Williamson. Maybe somebody just called and said, can you make this 2 inches wider? And they did. I have no idea. But that 16 is so sweet. I don't know why they need a 15-foot wide, but when there's the 16, which is so close anyway, and it's just perfect. High sides are sweet. Yep. High sides rank really high for me. Great designs. Well made. Yeah. I think I'm going to, in Idaho, when our current boats fail, I'll probably replace those with high sides because they roll really well. So it's easy to put them into airplanes. And, you know, I think airs will roll really well too, but I'd rather have Hypalon personally for road trips. Wing Surge has bigger handles with a nice round part of your hand. Feels great, but a total leg entrapment. Yeah, I mean, I have like six of these Wing Surges, and the handles are different on all of them. Some of them have the round part, some of them don't. Some of them are basically leg entrapment, some of them aren't. I wish this is going back to the wing thing. I wish they had somebody on staff who could look at these things and be like, oh, obviously you don't make a handle that big. Like, obviously I get them and I'm like, I open them up and the first thing, like, oh, cool. They change the handles and they're kind of dangerous. So there's like five or six of these details that I, now if I order another boat, I have to just be sure. Are you sure the handles are not the ones that can hold a leg or a hand? Are you sure that the logo is going to be the same as last time? Are you sure, you know, just like, I don't know, are the thwarts, the new thwart design, not the ones where you have the eight buckles and it takes half an hour to switch one out, you know? Again, they're great boats. Sort of like this PFD is a great PFD, but if there was somebody on staff who knew about rafting at Wing and Astral, us rafters would get things that we would be happier with. Where like high side, the people on staff are rafter. So they're just like, these things wouldn't slip. I'm a class three pack rafter. I've only done the Rogue. Oh yeah. The Illinois, that section of Illinois is probably, it'd be more challenging to all those things. Cause you have at the Panther Creek Rapids, there's a long class three section, and then you got to deal with Rocky Top, York Creek, Clear Creek. I mean, I guess you can maybe portage some of those and more. Like, it's definitely harder than anything listed there. Like, a solid step up. That section is definitely a solid step up from what you've listed there, even at 700. And Rocky Top, if you do it at Rocky Top, be especially careful because it might force you into the main channel and there's an undercut rock in the middle. And yeah, York Creek. Yeah, and a pack raft. I mean, I'd be real careful if you're going to do that. Okay, team, I think we finished another episode of the Gear Garage live show. Thank you all for watching. We have a few new members. Thank you, those of you that are members. I appreciate that. Those of you that are members help me spend money to buy stuff like this to test, so I thank you so much for that. This whole YouTube thing has been a fun journey. So thank you all for being supportive and nice when I can't read things or I don't understand questions. And yeah, that's it. We'll hopefully be back, I think, same thing next Friday around 2 for the next episode. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you all next week.